build a bathroom right here. That'd make my life so much easier. Because, like, I should pee before, but there's too much stuff to move.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to mess with all that. I could just go out the window, but...
I feel like there's people running around out there.
There are. There's joggers and stuff.
And I'm not sure that hanging your dick out the window is, like, something that people can do. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Action's never been so hot. My co-host has never been so hot. That's Mr. Dave Bisella.
That is me. Hot as can be.
There he is. Hot as can be. Gonna sit there and look pretty. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. If you are sitting pretty thinking you know what movie our tagline comes from, and that is Action's never been so hot. If you know where that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the three following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or get at us on the Twitter @moviesonup. And if you are correct, and if we choose you, you will find yourself in possession of a hot prize package courtesy of Dave and I. And all you got to do to get that prize package is just...
Are you going
to
call if you want to win?
There you go. You're going to call Movies on Up. That was nice. That was like a, like I had the card and you knew that there was a star.
I just hope I'm on the right episode.
On the other. Well, if you're wrong, we're both wrong together. As Dave may have just mentioned, this episode is
The Purge Anarchy.
Yes, absolutely. Ivan Reitman's The Purge Anarchy from 1984. No, Ghostbusters is coming out this week. If you took the NBA Finals journey that Dave and I took, no doubt you are aware that there is a new Ghostbusters movie that's going to be hitting the theaters. So Dave and I thought, well, since we can't actually see that movie before we do a podcast for this week, we would just do a movie that we have seen probably dozens of times,
oh, yeah.
if not even more
lots
than that.
Lots and lots of times.
Yeah, over the last 32 years, and that is the aforementioned Ghostbusters from 1984, directed by Ivan Reitman, starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Sigourney Weaver,
Annie Potts,
and so forth.
Rick
yes,
Moranis,
Annie Potts, Rick
Winston
Moranis,
Zedmore, Ernie Hudson.
We already did mention him. No, I didn't. I didn't mention Ernie Hudson. I wanted to be fair to women, so I did put Sigourney Weaver on there and not Ernie Hudson. And William Atherton, great bad guy,
yeah.
Walter Peck.
Yeah.
It's true, this man has no dick.
Best line.
The sad part is that's the only part in the podcast that that line will be mentioned, but it's amazing.
That's like one of the best lines in the whole movie, and like I just absolutely love it.
It's such a throwaway, but it's phenomenal. In addition to just this really great cast sort of coming together for what ended up being a couple magical runs, it's sort of interesting... This movie, how it works with Dave and I. We both love the movie an awful lot. It's one of our all-time favorites. It came out in the summer of 1984, June 8th specifically. It came out the same day as another movie that's probably all-time top five for Dave, and that would be Gremlins. Ghostbusters opened up number one with $13.5 million, just about $1 million ahead of Gremlins. Also, the top five that week, Temple of Doom, Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, and Beat Street. Those are your top five movies.
That's a hell of a weekend. If you can invent time travel and go to a multiplex on one weekend, like...
Or they're still probably doing drive-ins in 1984, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've...
Catch a Beat Street, Temple of Doom back to back.
Last year, the drive-in here did Ghostbusters, Gremlins, and Beetlejuice.
Yeah, see, that's
hell of
sweet.
A triple feature, but Beetlejuice, one of these things, is not like the other because it wasn't from 1984. Interestingly enough, those two movies, Ghostbusters and Gremlins, would go on to be number one and two for the next 5 weeks. 6 weeks in total, they were the top two movies and never changed, which may still be a record. I'm not sure that that's ever happened again. If it has, you're welcome to correct me. That's fine.
I'm not.
Continuity policeman Jason West, get on the case. Ghostbusters specifically went on to gross $229 million domestically, which puts it number 107 on the all-time list.
And that's 1984 money.
Yes. And in fairness, it did have two subsequent releases. It was re-released, I believe, in 1985 and then re-released... A couple years ago,
yeah,
for the 30th anniversary, and also even more recently than that, it had, I think, a two-day run.
Yeah, it was a two-day run. That's yeah. when I took the kids to see it, because my kids have been stoked when they see the new Ghostbusters commercials. So I saw that. And
so $229 million and $30.
They only charged 20 somehow. It was me, really? My girlfriend, and three of the kids.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, I don't know how we got in for 20, but I'll take it. And it was awesome.
And with Dave's money, that pushes it into number 107 on the all-time domestic list. And it would be an act of God if you could guess the Jim Carrey movie one spot directly above it.
Bruce Almighty.
It is Bruce Almighty. Directly below it is possibly the most well-known weather movie ever. It is certainly the most well-known flying cow movie ever.
Twister.
Twister, it is. So that tells you right about where that's at. And again, in 1984 dollars, for it to be a $220-plus million movie is just outrageous. I should start off saying that I don't think that it's strictly out of nostalgia that Dave and I count both Ghostbusters and Gremlins very, very highly in our all-time favorites. I don't think that we're just looking back fondly on childhood. I think that these movies are just as great today as they were 32 years ago. And a box office haul of $200 million in 1984 dollars, in Reagan dollars, I think kind of bears that out.
Yeah, and this isn't something like Ice Pirates, where I saw when I was young, and
I think
it was awesome. Ghostbusters and Gremlins, I have watched at least once a year since they've come out, at least. And Gremlins, I've seen way more. But, I mean, I just went and saw Ghostbusters at the theater a couple of weeks ago with my kids, who loved it, with my girlfriend, who loved it, in a theater where people just laughed because it's still funny.
The jokes are 30 years old.
This isn't a nostalgia thing. This movie is legit good.
Why, though? Why is Ghostbusters this transcendent comedy that spawned a sequel, cartoons, multiple cartoons, and an eventual reboot? I would argue that because, like you said, 30 years old jokes are still killing. It is a perfectly crafted comedy. It's got your gross out or sight gags humor right along with quick, dry one-liners.
Where do these stairs go?
Many times they go up.
They go up.
Many times they're in the same scene. One of my favorite examples of that is when Dana is possessed and she's hovering above the bed, and she asks Venkman to come inside her, and he says, it sounds like there's at least two or three people. Yeah.
It's a little crowded in there.
I mean, that's stuff that, like, watching the movie as a kid, I thought it was funny that she was hovering over the bed. Watching the movie as a kid, I thought it was funny that Lewis Tully was running around, you know, with a colander on his head. But when you start to understand not just the sight gags, but you're laughing at now different jokes, but jokes that you'll continue to laugh at forever.
Speaking of getting it differently as a kid and as an adult, I'm going to try to play something off my phone.
Oh, this is going to sound phenomenal.
We'll cut it out if it doesn't work. Aaron's parents were watching the baby. I always ask them when we get home, what was your favorite part of the movie? This is the first we talked about it. I asked Kayla, who had just turned 7, what her favorite part of Ghostbusters was. And this was her answer.
When the ghost pulled under the buckle on one of the Ghostbusters pants, and you could see the underwear.
So her favorite part was when the ghost pulled his pants down, because she thought it was funny you could see his underwear. She doesn't know it's a blowjob joke.
Yeah. And in fairness, when I was a kid,
I didn't know it was a blowjob joke.
Watching that as an adult, you're like, that wasn't in the movie. What the hell? Like,
it was. My 7-year-old loved it.
Yeah, apparently it was. But there again, you get it on completely different levels. Yeah. And they wrote it for different levels.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Slimer's funny if you're 7. But then the interplay between Venkman and Dana's funny when you understand dry humor.
And it was written as a comedy. That's where the second one kind of had its... The second one I still love, but that's more of a nostalgia thing. Like, if I watch it now, I don't get the same feelings I do watching the original. But that one was written as a comedy. But because of what was going on with the Giant Marshmallow Man and Slimer, kids adapted to it. Kids loved it. And it spun off the cartoon, which was phenomenal. That holds up as well. That cartoon was really, really good. I've been watching it with my kids. We'll talk more about the remake in a little bit, but like, it's such a good movie because that's what they meant to do. They didn't go out to make a funny horror movie. They didn't go to make a funny kids movie or a family movie. They went out to make a legit movie that happened to be funny.
I mean, it's the best horror comedy of all time, written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. The jokes, there's jokes from top to bottom. Obviously, when Aykroyd originally wrote the draft of the script, it was for him and Belushi. But going through the changes that they ended up having to make, the jokes that they wrote, I mean, they couldn't have written them better for the people that would end up delivering these lines. It was almost, they were writing Bill Murray's voice. They were writing Rick Moranis' voice, Sigourney Weaver's voice. Like, it was just perfect casting. And
Richard
perfect,
Atherton or whatever his name.
William Atherton. A great script, executed wonderfully. And I think we give a lot of credit to, you know, the guys that are really, really funny in the movie. But I'm not sure that we give as much credit or enough credit to Reitman, who I thought paced the movie wonderfully. You get that, what we call around Movies On Up, that Jurassic Park tease, the Raptor tease. We get that in this movie.
The refrigerator.
Yes.
Or the library. Library. You're talking
ghost.
The library. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. From the beginning, the first shot is the New York Public Library. And that's our introduction to not only the Ghostbusters, but ghosts. I mean, you don't have to wait a half an hour till they become the Ghostbusters to go bust the ghosts. It's right from the start. And it is an origin story in that they're explaining how
that's
they...
the world. That's the word I was going to look at is origin story.
Yeah, and it is. But you don't have to wait for the end of the origin to get some of the payoff. They were able to sprinkle that in and keep it going throughout the whole movie, which I thought was really, really good.
Yeah, it covers a lot of ground and it does good use of montage, which in the 80s were kind of overused. But this one delivers. And it, you know, you see Dana seeing the commercial, you see the magazine covers, you
we're ready to believe you.
You see shots of them running with the traps.
Larry King, Casey Kasem.
Yeah, Reitman paced it perfectly because you do have the kind of Jurassic Park tease. You introduce the characters. You have the some of my favorite parts is when they're looking at the firehouse and Venkman and Spengler. It's
this
like,
place is great.
Yeah, where it's like this place needs a lot of work. It's not safe. And then, hey, did you see this fireman pole?
We should sleep here tonight to test it out.
And she's like, so that's a yes. Just so many of the jokes. Like one of the funniest parts in the hotel with Slimer. And they turn and they shoot at the cleaning lady and she's just on the ground and her cart's on fire and she just says, "What the hell are you doing?" Like, that's so funny. That it's true, this man has no dick. The stairs go up. Like, there's so many just like quotable lines.
And I'm not sure if that's just me specifically, but I mean often. Cats and dogs living together. There literally are so many lines from that movie that I end up quoting, and I do them not just the quotes, but it's the inflection. It's been so burned into my mind for seeing this movie for years and years. And as iconic as
somebody blows their nose and he wants to keep it.
Egon, your mucus. The script is great, and it's something that I can appreciate now. But when I was a kid growing up, the visual effects, I mean, Slimer was great. The creepy, like, decomposing ghost, the cab driver, not to mention Stay Puffed, I mean.
Beasts.
Yeah.
Gatemaster and Gatekeeper and Keymaster.
Yeah. The
They looked awesome.
Girlfriend's a Dog. The movie was nominated for Best Visual Effects, and certainly in 1984 technology, that was great. But looking back on it now, I still don't think it looks hokey.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look like it's top-notch today, but right. It doesn't look bad. It looks better than a lot of the CGI. Like, if you watch something like Clash of the Titans, which I don't know why you would do that, it looks like that. Or
watch
even
them both.
I don't know, anything like that. It looks good for being in that time. Stay Puft looks good. The only thing is we talk about, we've mentioned Marvel movies with the villain who's kind of underwhelming. Mm-hmm. You get a little of that where it's like Zool's in it for 10 minutes,
it goes
5 minutes.
The Gozerian.
Yeah, it goes, yeah.
But, yeah, that's one of those deals that, like, all right, in Friday the 13th, the original, who's the villain?
The mom.
Right, that's exactly. Yeah. It's not Jason. Everybody thinks it is, but it's really not. Ghostbusters is kind of the same thing. Everybody thinks that Stay Puft is, like, the climactic showdown, which, in theory, it is. It is. That's sort of the vessel of the ultimate bad guy, but it doesn't really matter because the characters themselves are so charismatic that they carry the movie against Slimer, against Peck from the EPA, against whoever the sort of minor villain is, it doesn't matter because the ensemble is so great.
The second one, the villain's better.
Vigo.
Vigo, yeah. The Carpathian or whatever.
The Scourge of
Mordor. He's a better villain. I almost want to do another episode on Ghostbusters 2.
I'll watch Ghostbusters
2. It's still good because of the characters, but it's not great. There's a lot of bad stuff in it and a lot of stuff that they almost like studio interference, the stuff they avoided doing in the first one. That one's nostalgia. That one has a place in my heart. I still love it. I admit its flaws, but this one, I don't see the flaws. If there are there, I don't see them.
Even movies I love, generally I can pick out some things that maybe were wrong or maybe could have been done better. I struggle with Ghostbusters to find something that's not great, that's not still great, and it's me trying to be as objective as I can looking back at things, and I'll get into that later. But we did talk about the cast being so great, and specifically on this podcast, we talk a lot about Ernie Hudson and how much we love him. Or maybe Bill Murray.
I love
it's one of those.
I love Bill Murray and I love Ernie Hudson. My only complaint about this movie is if you read up on Ghostbusters and stuff, the original script where Zedmore Winston's a bigger part, he's an ex or he's a vet going through PTSD, that was rumor has it written for Eddie Murphy and then shrunk when they couldn't get Eddie Murphy. I kind of want to see that movie. Mm-hmm. I want to see that Winston, because the stories about that, if you hear Ernie Hudson talk about it, he talks about some really cool stuff involving the Zedmore character. That's my only beef is I could see Winston being more than just a throwaway character,
because
he comes in, he does his purpose, but I wouldn't mind seeing the character that was written as Winston.
I mean, that would have given him a stronger grounding, where is
because some of it sounds really cool.
For sure. I mean, I would love to see that, too. I can't really hold it against the movie because we didn't get to see that.
And a lot of it sounds like it doesn't fit, it's a different angle than the comedy.
Yeah.
So I get it, but it's just to hear him talk about it and what you've read about it, I kind of wish we'd have seen at least a little of that. But, I mean, other than that, that's digging deep for something to beef about.
Whatever the opposite of digging deep is, just taking the low-hanging fruit of Murray. Because for me, this is as great as Harold Ramis is in it, as great as Dan Aykroyd is in it. It's Bill Murray's movie. And at least in my opinion, when the good Lord pulls his hand down to the planet Earth and takes Bill Murray up to entertain him on the other side of the pearly gates, I really think that Pete Venkman is how I'm always going to imagine Bill Murray.
Venkman, Stripes, and Garfield, I think, are going to be the top three.
Certainly two of those things. As I think with most of the great Murray roles, like Stripes and Garfield, Peter may just be a version of Bill Murray, but that's fine. He's dry, witty, sarcastic, and charismatic. Usually the dry and the charismatic don't go well together. But Murray's able to do that better than anyone I've ever seen. And Venkman, as that character, she calls him at one point, "You don't seem like a scientist. You seem like more of a game show host." That's charisma.
Yeah.
And the dry sense of humor, "Are you sure you're using that thing?" I think so. That whole scene of him going along with her in the apartment when he's sort of skeptical, sort of hitting on her, I think that shows all the sides there. And it's just, we said if we did a top Bill Murray list, that would be tough.
Venkman and Groundhog Day are the two quintessential Murray roles, I believe. Older people might think Caddyshack and Stripes. Mm-hmm. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But for me, it'll always be Ghostbusters and Groundhog Day are my top Bill Murray performances. They sum up everything great about Bill Murray.
Yeah, it's tough. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago how there are certain directors that really know how to work with Bill Murray, and specifically Reitman's the guy. If you're talking about Stripes and Ghostbusters and Ramis working well with him as well, that concoction equals great Bill Murray, and not just great Bill Murray, but great movies to come from that as well. And honestly, since this one came out in 84, when did Ghostbusters 2 come out? Was that 89? Thereabouts?
Something, yeah.
All right. Well, since Ghostbusters 2, I've been waiting for another Ghostbusters movie with bated breath. I do love the sequel. And
Yeah.
And have wanted the surviving Ghostbusters to get together for either a reboot, a sequel, whatever. I remember a couple of years ago, they came out with a video game that was voiced by all those guys. Yeah. The video game itself kind of sucked, but it was amazing to hear Bill Murray's voice coming from Pete Venkman again, and Ernie Hudson coming from Winston Zeddemore.
And another one of those like legend things where I talked about Zeddemore, the Ghostbusters 3 script that had them going to hell and handing down the torch for younger Ghostbusters to fight the ghosts on Earth while they're going to hell would have been awesome, but never came together.
And there were a lot of versions that were planned. That one, which would have been super, super expensive. There was the Ashton Kutcher, Will Smith reboot, which may have dovetailed into that one at some point. And then by the time, you know, the Feig version was announced, I thought it actually sounded like the best idea I had heard, with the only possible exception of the Russo brothers directed movie that was supposed to
Channing Tatum and Chris Pratt.
Yes. That would have been an actual sequel to Ghostbusters 2. Once that got left for dead, I was okay with the Paul Feig one going forward. Because
here's my thing. I know we stand on separate sides of the fence here, but you're not as irrational as the general backlash against this movie. I don't know if it's sexism or what, but overall consensus is that this movie is going to be terrible. Bridesmaids was great.
Yes.
The Heat, I loved. Spy, fantastic. Mm-hmm. All three of those movies, better than the trailer would have led you to believe. All three of those movies, great jokes throughout the movie, not necessarily in the trailer. I like each one of them more than the last. Spy, specifically. The trailers for that movie doesn't look like something I would be that into. I end up loving that movie, and it's hilarious. I'm going to go on a little tangent here. You compare the original cast. Bill Murray has his own voice, his own style. Yeah. Aykroyd had a voice and a style. Ramis fit into that. Ernie Hudson was kind of in there. But Kristen Wiig, she's known for something. She has a voice. Melissa McCarthy definitely has a voice that she's known for. Leslie Jones does something very, very well.
Draw the Saturday Night Live comparisons. And then, that's fine.
I'm just saying you have these distinct voices creating these characters. People complain that it's the reboot and not a sequel, and the justification that makes sense is when you see the ghost in the library, that's the first you see a ghost. That's the first they see a ghost. To make a sequel now, you're putting that in a world where we've seen ghosts for 30 years.
We saw Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
We saw Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. We saw the Statue of Liberty walk and crash a museum. Like, for 30 years, we've been seeing that. So what are you throwing new at us? So that's why it's a reboot and not a sequel, because now these women are, these scientists and Leslie Jones are the ones to see it. They're the ones to stop it. They're the ones to fight it. I like the idea that there seems to be somebody who, another scientist on the other side that figured out a way to increase paranormal activity and bring out the ghosts. Like, I have really high hopes for this movie. And it's not just that my kids want to see it. Like, I love Paul Feig. I wouldn't rush out my kids to see The Heat 2 or Spy 2. So it's not that it's women Ghostbusters. It's that it's Ghostbusters, a franchise I love, directed by a director who I think is, I've loved everything he's done, with a cast of people that I think are fantastic. And you mentioned visually how Slimer and Stay Puft and everything looks. The visuals in this movie look phenomenal. The ghosts in the trailer look awesome. It looks like Paul Feig created this world, and I have very high hopes to see it. I truly do, and I think Hemsworth, I made the comparison, I think he's going to be like Statham was in Spy, where he just steals every scene he's in, because the scenes in the trailer with him, is it the boobs? Do you want me to make them bigger? Like, the stuff like that. I think he's going to steal the show. You're not going to expect much comedy from him, and he's just going to deliver. And I trust Feig as a storyteller to give us a good story that's not just, hey, these ladies are fighting ghosts. I feel like there's going to be something more there. I am stoked for this movie. Like, I'm legit excited about this movie. Yes, that first trailer was terrible. It was a bad-made trailer.
It was a very bad trailer. I mean, the most disliked trailer in YouTube history. And there's a reason for that. It's because it was an awful trailer.
People have already made up their mind that they're going to hate this movie.
Some people, yes.
Yeah, I'm not lumping you into this, because I know you better than that. But a large number of people...
But I don't think I'm the only person that feels the way I do for the reasons that I do. That was a bad trailer that took basically everything that we already had seen. And yes, the ghosts look better now than they do. And 32 years later, they better. You're not going to get credit in my book.
I'm not saying they look better. I'm saying they look fantastic. They do. They look great.
They do, because they put a lot of money into that and a lot of time into that. And that does look great.
Yeah.
With the eyeballs, that looks good. But just trying to repackage basically the same jokes. You're going right to the library again. You're going to that well again. You're going to the Slimer well again. That seemed a bit like, hey, remember this, guys?
It looked like fan service. That first trailer was everything it shouldn't have been.
Even the new bits, like the Melissa McCarthy possession thing, if you juxtapose that with the Dana Barrett possession scenes, her getting her like head spinning around like The Exorcist, to me, that seems like forced jokes. In no point does Ghostbusters the original did it seem like they were trying to force a joke or yank a laugh out of you. They just come.
But again, look at the Spy trailer. One of the big jokes in the Spy trailer is her getting in the scooter and it falling over. Who puts a roof on a scooter? That's one of the weakest jokes in the movie, but that's what the trailer made it look like. The Heat. It's just Melissa McCarthy punching things. There's more to that movie than that.
Could the movie be better than the trailer? Absolutely. It could. I mean,
Paul Feig movies generally are. The weakest jokes are what's in the trailer because the jokes in the movie are so good. They appeal to the lowest common denominator with the jokes in the trailer. And I've never been one that thinks remakes ruin anything. Any remake, you could star Ashton Kutcher right now. It's not going to make the 84 original any less awesome.
Right.
And it's ruining my childhood. Fuck you. No, it's not. It's doing nothing to your fucking childhood.
I mean, Michael Bay's been doing that with the Ninja Turtles.
I still love the first one and the second one.
I love
the Ninja Turtles. That's one of my favorite things in my life. I've skipped those movies. I eventually saw the first one, but they're not for me. They aren't made for me. Those aren't the turtles I love.
Transformers.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So, you can skip it if you don't want it.
Right.
But I get that there are people that like those Turtles reboots. They're just not for me. They're not ruining my love for Turtles. And for Ghostbusters, my kids grew interested in Ghostbusters because of the trailers for the new ones. So that made us go see the original in the theater. That made me start watching the cartoon. Now they love Ghostbusters. Not just the new one coming out. They love the original. So how is it ruining anything? This movie, I feel like, has got... You don't follow the internet as much as I do, so I...
I'm going to get to it, but go ahead. Lead me right into it. That's fine.
Well, I don't know if you see where my steam and my anger is coming from this, because you don't follow the internet buzz as much as I do. But people are just angry about this movie, and I don't get it. I absolutely do not get it, and all of the reasoning makes no sense.
To be honest, I haven't read comments from people, so I don't know specifically why people are mad at this movie. I think, based on the information that I have, and it's just the trailers, that it is going to suck. I could be wrong. I mean, I thought the Transformers movie, the original, was going to absolutely turn me to stone in the theater. It wasn't that bad. You know, I'm okay with saying that I was kind of wrong about that movie, and I may very well be with Ghostbusters. I haven't seen it yet because it's not out. I'm not going to be in a big hurry to go and see it once it does come out. And that's because I think that it looks like a bad movie. Where I get upset is reading articles in the Washington Post where it's like, if you don't like this movie,
you're sexist.
You are a sexist. If you are into women's lib now, you have to go see this movie. Well, some of that may be true. There may be people that on the surface are like, hey, I don't want to see this because Ghostbusters is guys. This is a girl. And that may be true for some people that a male audience just can't wrap their minds around a female-led reboot. But then I would say the highest grossing movie of all time was essentially a reboot led by a female. Yeah. Nobody had a problem with The Force Awakens. I cannot wait to go see Rogue One, which is another Star Wars movie not led by Luke Skywalker or Han Solo or Chewbacca for that matter, but by Felicity Jones. So I don't think that there's this sexist backlash.
I never accused you of that.
No, I know.
I didn't want it.
No, I know that. I'm just saying there may be people that are leaving comments on the YouTube video that like, oh, this sucks. Girls can't be funny. And those people are assholes. They're idiots. I love Paul Feig, and I've liked the Melissa McCarthy movies that they've done together. Spy was one of my favorite movies. What that did for like a spoof of the spy genre, at first when this movie was, you know, we found out it was going to be a Paul Feig-directed, female-led Ghostbusters movie, I was very excited for what he could potentially do to Ghostbusters. All I want is another great Ghostbusters movie. I don't care if it's for women. I don't care if they're for Muslims. I don't care if they're for cats. It doesn't matter to me. I just want the movie to be good. And my anger comes from just seeing the trailer. I feel like he let me down. I could be wrong when this movie comes out. Maybe I'll see it in 2 months. Maybe I'll see it in 2 years and say, you know what? That was really actually good. I'm looking forward to a Paul Feig-led Ghostbusters sequel, but as of right now, based on the information that I have, I think the movie is not going to deliver on the potential that the stars have and that the directors have, and that's why I'm pissed. And if anybody else is pissed because of that, then that's fine. They're completely justified to do that, but it's to lump everybody that doesn't like this movie as, if you don't like it, you're a sexist. That's sexist to me. If it's because, well, this happens to be led by four women, and if you don't like it, you're a sexist. No, if I don't like the Lone Ranger that's led by two guys, if a woman doesn't like it, it doesn't mean she's sexist.
There's been so much about it, and in a lot of it, there is this underlying sexism. I'm not saying everybody that's anti this movie is sexist, but there is a lot of it that exists.
There might be, sure.
And it's stupid. But I trust Feig. I really, really do, because Feig gets it. When you think of Ghostbusters, and even Ghostbusters 2, maybe even to more extent, what do you think of other than the movie? Ray Parker's Ghostbusters song. Yeah. In Ghostbusters 2, you have Bobby Brown. You have the soundtrack.
Yeah.
The soundtrack to both movies is used awesomely. I like that this one is taking that approach, too. Like, Fall Out Boy did a terrible cover of Ghostbusters with Missy Elliott. That cover's terrible. But, like, Ellie King did a new song for it. There's a handful of other artists that are doing songs for this. That's almost kind of went away. Like, the
soundtrack. The pop music soundtrack.
The soundtrack's had a big boom in, like, the early aughts.
Spawn. The Spawn
soundtrack. Yeah, in the early aughts with the bad wave of superhero movies were coming out with those. But you don't see it a lot now. And, you know, you have these pop stars making music for this movie. So just that alone is like, he gets it. Like, that's a small thing that most people, when they think about Ghostbusters, may not associate that, like, how big the soundtrack was to it. Like, so something like, maybe I'm looking too much into it, but like something like that, it's like, he gets it. I trust Paul Feig that he gets it. I know that he knows what Ghostbusters is. And I don't believe he would take this job if he weren't going to do it justice.
I trust him to an extent, but that doesn't mean that I think you're always going to be right. You know what I mean? Even guys I trust can make mistakes. And I think that this is going to be a mistake. And I'm not bummed, because if this movie bombs, that means that, like, nobody is going to give women a chance to lead another movie. Because I don't believe that. Melissa McCarthy, her movies are too successful.
Yeah.
She's not going to be out of a job. Kristen Wiig, the same thing. Paul Feig is going to get another shot. So where I'm upset,
the only thing up in the air is how big this makes Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon.
Well, yes.
That's it. Like, and they're either going to blow up or this will be their chance and they're kind of done.
And whether or not Ghostbusters can go forward. To me, if anything dies, it's going to be Ghostbusters. If this movie doesn't sell well, they're going to think, well, it's because nobody cares about Ghostbusters anymore. To me, I think that's unfair. I wish that I kind of thought the same way you did and could hold out some kind of hope. But even, not to keep harping on this trailer, but you go back to the trailer and it starts out with the piano, which I thought was great.
I don't, because it's a new Ghostbusters movie.
Okay, if that's what you want it to do, if you want to distance it, you can't have the library ghost. You can't have Slimer. If you've seen the movie, you can't tell me that four scientists save the world.
Yeah. But they correct, and they did correct. It's just a bad trailer. Like, yes. It's a bad, bad trailer.
And did Feig have anything to do with that trailer?
I doubt it. Like, honestly,
have something to do with it.
I don't know. I think that's the marketing department. He's been adamant about it's not a reboot. It's not a sequel. It's a new movie.
Right.
I can't see him wanting to start the trailer like that. Ghostbusters is a known brand. If you just show the ghost with the line through it on the subway wall, that's all I need to set that world in. I know what's going on now.
But if it's a new movie and it's not a reboot and it's not a sequel, why are we getting Slimer?
It's just a different ghost.
It just, at the very least, the library ghost. Maybe that's just a little bit of fan service. Maybe it's not that big of a deal in the movie. But to me, it seems like they're really trying to recreate. Because, I mean, even if you look at, like, Kate McKinnon, her hairdo is, like, the same as Egon's from the show. Why did Leslie Jones have to not be a scientist? Why couldn't Melissa McCarthy's character have not been a scientist?
That part was written for Melissa McCarthy. In the original draft, Leslie Jones' character, Paul Feig, when he was writing that, had Melissa McCarthy in mind. But things happened and things changed. And
why did it have to be the black character that, again, is not the scientist? Does that mean, like...
And that was a big outcry of the first one, as that came out. But
yeah, but I'm not hearing that now. I'm hearing sexism, but I'm not hearing racism because black people can't be scientists. They're both almost as crazy as the next thing. To me, it seems like, as much as it is its own thing, because the original guys are in it and they're making cameos, but they're not making cameos as their characters. You're going so close to that line of being a remake, but then trying to say, oh no, we're not a remake, we're doing our own thing, but we're using original actors, we're using original bits. You can't have it both ways, Paul Feig. Are you listening to me?
Here's a question for you. If Dan Aykroyd hadn't been talking up until 3 or 4 years ago that Ghostbusters 3 was going to happen, if that seed wasn't planted...
The Russo thing was even more recent than that. I think it was in development about the same time this was.
I just feel like Dan Aykroyd leading everybody along to say, like, hey, we're going to get a Ghostbusters 3. It's going to happen. And then this is the end result. I think turned a lot of people off because you were teased for so long. Where if you're not teased for a Ghostbusters 3 for a long time and then all of a sudden it's a remake... I don't get the outrage. Like something.
It may have, but it didn't turn me off because I was originally excited for this. I was defending it. Like, it doesn't matter that they're women. I don't give a shit. Ghostbusters is a comedy. These women are funny. This can be a comedy. It just doesn't look funny. That's probably my main, and that's where I won't be able to budge.
Have you watched other trailers other than that first one?
No, I haven't.
Okay, see, that I think is a big disconnect because that was a teaser, essentially. That first.
I mean, I've seen the trailers that were on TV. I don't know how much different they are.
Yeah, I mean, they've been an improvement, but actually the first international trailer and the first extended trailer were giant improvements because they did away with everything that wasn't liked about the first one. The jokes were better. It didn't make that correlation with the first ones. I think there's solid jokes in even the TV spots. There's some good ones. Leslie Jones with the giant demon on her shoulder saying, like, nope, just going to head home. I'm tired. Like, the people taking the selfie. Like, I think there's funny stuff. And, again, I trust Feig. I don't think the best stuff is in the trailers.
I hope not. I would love to be wrong about this.
And I hope there's a good blowjob joke in there for my 7-year-old to love.
Could it be? I mean, I guess. Hemsworth has got a penis. He's in the movie.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know.
I think it'll be good. I really do. I strongly believe.
Well, we're going to find out in just a couple of days. Come hell or high water, this movie is coming out.
I'll see it.
I really can't. Was it South Park where they tried to break into Lucas's house to not let him mess with Star Wars anymore?
Yeah.
I can't really pull that move. So Ghostbusters will be out this weekend. You know, if you see it, maybe let us know what you think. Reassure me that it's not that bad. Talk me off the ledge.
I'll be texting you the second I leave.
That's fine, because I'll probably be...
And I'll admit if I'm wrong.
In another theater somewhere else watching
anything
else.
I'll admit if I'm wrong. Like,
yeah, I know. And
I'm not gonna just love it because I think I'm going to love it.
This is not about me being right or wrong. It's about me just fretting over something that I really like a lot and don't know that it's going to quite hold up. As much as today at least started off like all fun and giggles, next week's episode, not really a movie of smiles and rainbows. Actually, it'll be a movies on up first where we're going to do a Netflix movie. And now Dave is with me. Beasts of No Nation will be our movie episode next week. So it's two movies back to back, but they really couldn't be any further apart.
Yeah. And I feel like this wasn't just about Ghostbusters. This was also about the remake. I feel like Beasts of No Nation will lead to Idris Elba and lead to some
Netflix talk.
I want to talk about movies that aren't theatrically released, like these made for streaming service movies. So
yeah, we'll talk about the Adam Sandler made for streaming one.
There's a Brad Pitt one coming.
It'll be mentioned. I think there's a Paul Rudd one too.
That just came
out. Yeah, it just came out this week or
like 3 weeks ago.
Was it 3 weeks?
Wink,
ago?
Wink.
You're right. By the time this one plops, that'll do it for us this week. Podcast that makes me feel good. And until next week,
who you gonna call?